shot at our iHeartRadio Music Festival now. Text the keyword casino to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. Text casino to 200-200. Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Happy Friday, everybody. If you're just joining us, it's a Len-free zone today. Len has the day off. He's meeting with a bunch of Democratic operatives to get his talking points for next week so he can represent the lefty side for you. And I'm joined by Joe Bartlett, who always plays it right down the middle.
I try to. As you're trying to be golf. Fair, pragmatic.
Yeah, your political views are like your golf game, right down the middle.
If only my golf game was down the middle.
Do you are you a slicer or a hooker? That way we know if you're righty or a lefty.
No, it's I can go either way. Believe it or not,
I'm not a great golfer, but I love to play golf. I have the worst slice. When I hit that ball off a tee, it's like the ball becomes a boomerang because it goes up and then it begins to go right and it comes right back and it lands by my feet on the tee.
You can fix that.
I don't know how. I've never been
able
to fix
it. Some lessons will fix that.
But sometimes I hit it, and my parents live on a golf course in Florida, and you know the houses are.
Oh yeah!
Oh my God!
Into the houses?
Into the pools?
Oh my God!
On the roofs? You know, I broke a sliding glass door.
No, are you obligated to pay for that when
you are? But I just jump in the cart and run away.
Hey, you know you
I
haven't
flee the scene of the crime.
You haven't mentioned your Friday column.
Oh, right. Yes.
I even read it this morning because you were promising some good information about the Tonys and Les Moonves.
And how was it?
Interesting. No, really. I don't. You don't really have a conclusion, but...
Well, it's not my point. It's not my place to conclude.
Right.
If you're just joining us, I write a theater column, Broadway column for the New York Post every Friday. And Les Moonves, the head of CBS, you may have heard, has been accused of sexual misconduct. There's an investigation. He may lose his job. And basically what I'm saying is the Tony Awards, Broadway's biggest night, it's the version of the Oscars, the Tonys are always low rated, but Les Moonves used to be an actor and he loves the theater. He loves Broadway. He loves theater people. And he told me as long as I'm at CBS, the Tonys will be here, right?
Right.
Well, he may not be at CBS if the investigation shows that these allegations are true and he's out. The question is, what happens to the Tony
Awards? But you said there are some wealthy people who like the Tonys on TV, right?
Well, essentially, the people who watch the Tonys have money, so advertisers like them.
Right.
But, you know, you're only getting 6 million, 5 million viewers. If it keeps going down, we'll see how long CBS, without Les Moonves, sticks by the Tonys.
6 million's not bad.
It's not the Oscars. The lowest rated Oscars last year, 25 million.
Okay, well,
that's pretty good. We're going to be talking, by the way, about Les Moonves and Casey Affleck and all these guys who got hashtag Me Too'd with my friend Larry Hackett, the former editor of People Magazine. At 8:40, he's going to be here. 8:30, I'm giving away some tickets to see the Mets take on the Giants August 23rd at Citi Field. So you want to stick around for that. And our big three today. Well, we've got the Wake Forest basketball coach. His name is Jamal Jones. Now, he hit the tourist from Boca Raton, Sabor Szabo, punched this guy because Sabor was drunk, apparently, and pounding on his car. Mr. Jones got out, punched the guy. Guy fell down, cracked his head, and died. A lot more here to investigate and to look into. But the tourist, his parents, were on the Today Show today, and they are speaking out about this.
It's just devastating that people
just... He's taken from us this early.
We'll never know. I mean, we were just so lucky that God gave it to us for this long.
That's very sad. I mean, it is a sad case.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's 35 years old, and he banged multiple cars around 1:15 in the morning on Thursday, and one of those cars was Coach Jamal Jones.
He was looking for an Uber, apparently.
Oh, are you my Uber?
Yeah,
are you my Uber?
Yeah.
Are you my Uber?
Right. Yes.
Mm. Any more from the parents do we have?
Yeah, this is the mom. Her name is Donna Kent.
He was trying to get an Uber, and his cell phone died. And so he just tapped on the wrong guy's window.
All right, and here's his father, Bob.
We're just hoping for a miracle that he would come through, and we always had somebody holding his hands to just see if he would just squeeze, give our hand a squeeze to let us know he was there.
So this must have been some punch, because if he fell and then hit his head and it was a, you know, a life-threatening injury.
That was the end. Yeah, we'll hash this around a little bit more. But also in our big three, transit nightmare, folks. Look at the front page of the New York Post. It makes you want to move to the country. Here we go. Ready for it. If you thought the summer of hell was bad, get ready for the transit apocalypse. All right, you got the L train shutting down, the Lincoln Tunnel Helix work. I don't even know. What is Helix work?
Well, that's the little roads that go around, that bring you into the tunnel.
Oh, like, yeah, right. You got to round that
right.
thing like that.
There's the one ramp that's being closed today, and then I think later in the week they're going to close two lanes.
Wow.
In both directions.
So it's going to take you 4 hours to get through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Forever to get through there.
We got gridlock streets because of all the Ubers and the lifters and train and subway delays. 70,000 subway delays a month, Joe.
That number was astonishing. And when I heard that, I said, you pause it. 70,000 incidents of delays.
A month.
A month.
I thought it was a year, and then I looked again and said, a month.
And Andy Byford, the new transit chief, says he'd like to reduce that to 10,000 a month.
Well, that would be good. I think so. And rounding out the big three, congratulations to Melania Trump's parents. They are now American citizens.
Welcome to America.
Through chain migration, which I don't think her husband is in favor of.
It's all right. This chain is okay.
That's all right.
This is a good change.
They're not going to be on the welfare state, these people. Right. You know, they seem like a nice couple, though. Victor, he's 74 years old, and Amalia, she's 73. They came from nothing. He worked. He was a car dealer in Slovenia, and she worked in a textile factory, and their daughter became a first lady. So that's the American dream right there.
There you go.
And I welcome them.
First lady. Wow.
Yeah, I welcome them to America. I did think it a little odd that the president wasn't there for the swearing-in citizenship ceremony, but okay.
Well, it is odd that he's on vacation in Bedminster and that they went by themselves. Maybe he had something to do? Golf? Golf? Sorry, Melania, can't make it.
Can't make it. Big deal. Build that wall. I got to go build the wall. Yeah, let him in before I build the wall.
Didn't want to have to take any questions. Oh, the other thing, too, is keep in mind, if he were to go, just the security and all the upheaval it would create, it's probably better that they just went on their own. So everybody's making a big, he wasn't there. But it just would have been a lot more complicated had he been there.
That's a good excuse, Joe. I like that. Good. That's very good. But we congratulate Victor and Amalia.
Yes.
Now, I don't know, this coach who clocked the tourist, and the tourist is now dead. His parents are speaking out on the Today program, as you just heard. Do you think he could get off? You think you can make the case that this guy, I don't know what he was doing, banging on my car, told him to stop it, and I punched him, self-defense, or what's...
If he felt threatened, I don't know. You don't know how aggressive this guy was. They say he was drunk, so that, you know, he may have been a little loud, a little forceful. I don't know, but obviously he felt threatened.
Right. And well, we know this Jamal Jones, the coach. I mean, no history of violence.
He's not like a troublemaker.
No, people speak highly of him. The players like him. Colleagues at Wake Forest like him. I mean, this is not a bad guy by any stretch of the imagination. But it's just so funny how these things can escalate and get out of control so quickly.
I always go to what started it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back, what started the chain of events that led to this man's tragic death?
Mm-hmm.
He did. He started it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you kill somebody, even without the intent to do that, there generally is a penalty. There's a price to pay for that.
Right now, he's facing misdemeanor assault.
How many years?
Misdemeanor, I wouldn't think. Might not even be any jail time.
Yeah. Man.
And then maybe it was just a freak accident that the punch didn't kill him. The fall killed him.
The fall killed him, yeah.
But and I don't know, maybe because, if I were a lawyer, I would argue that his drunken state made him unstable. And that when he got aggressive, he got punched. It's a natural reaction. And because of the state he was in, he was unable to maintain his balance, fell in his head. So,
did you punch a guy and kill him? Call Bartlett and Bartlett, 1-800-321-0710.
I hear the kid's parents. It's tragic. I feel sorry for them.
Let me hear the parents again.
It's just devastating that people
just taken from us this early.
We'll never know. I mean, we were just so lucky that God gave it to us for this long.
Coach was arraigned last night,
right.
And his lawyer said, well, we offer condolences to the disabled family. This is what the mom had to say about that.
I used to be a mother of two as well, and I'm sorry your condolences are a little bit too late.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, you know that Jamal Jones, the coach, you know he must feel terrible. He did not intend to kill this guy.
Of course
he
didn't, yeah. You can't charge him with murder or...
No.
I don't know. We'll see. A lot will depend on the state of Sabo in terms of
how he was bombed out of his mind. That's what he was.
And how aggressive he was in pounding on cars.
Yeah, bombed out of his mind. There you are. Okay, don't go away. Hey, that race in Ohio, still too close to call, apparently. And is a blue wave coming? We're going to get some political news and analysis from ABC News political director Rick Klein. But first, let's get some traffic from Cindy Waitman. Happy Friday, everybody. I've got some tickets to give away at 8:30. Don't call now, but when you hear the crack of the bat, I want you to call, and you're going to go, if you're the caller that I deem, you're going to get some tickets to see the Mets take on the Giants August 23rd at Citi Field.
If you're the caller, I deem.
Well, you know, I kind of like today because I'm the boss. There's no Len Berman this morning, and I'm the talent.
What am I?
You're the sidekick.
Oh.
You're talented.
Oh.
You're a talented sidekick.
Okay.
You know, you're a second banana, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it works in radio. There's the dominant force, one people tune in to listen to, and then the guy makes the wisecracks.
So how's that work with you and Len?
Well, I'm clearly the dominant force, and Len makes the dumb cracks. That's how it works around here.
Man, are you a dreamer? You just are in dreamland, boy.
The power is really going to my head this morning, folks.
You're lucky Natalie's not here to crack you down.
Well, we know who... Actually, when Natalie is here, that is the real power in the room. That's right. A good question. Hey, Trump is tweeting already about the national anthem. What's he saying, Joe?
Well, there were some more protests last night, sadly. This is really getting out of control, if you ask me. But anyway, the president chiming in this morning. NFL players are at it again, taking a knee when they should be standing proudly for the national anthem. Numerous players from different teams wanted to show their outrage at something that most of them are unable to define. They make a fortune doing what they love.
This really bothers you.
What bothers me is it's taking away from the game. It's become a huge distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me, we can solve it real easily.
How?
Do not televise the players.
That's a good idea.
Just put the camera still on the flag, on the crowd. Don't put them on the camera. But
ignore them.
Obviously, the networks love it.
Ignore them.
And they are complicit now because they can take care of this thing right away. You don't have to hide players in the locker room on their knee. Just don't show players.
Ignore them. It will wither away on the vine.
They never used to televise the national anthem. And even, but now, oh boy, they have to do it because somebody might kneel. And even if they don't televise it because of commercial pressure, they'll show you the replay of guys kneeling.
Well, I think that's a fine solution because the guys have every right to kneel. It's their protest about police brutality, Black Lives Matter. I understand that. And they have every right to kneel, but just don't show them.
Don't show them.
I don't think the solution the NFL came up with is workable.
Wishy-washy.
Fine them here and stay in the locker if you want to kneel.
And,
again,
and Trump's right. What are they protesting?
Well, they're protesting.
Each one has
Black
a different
Lives Matter,
issue.
Police brutality, the way African Americans are treated in this country. They have a few legitimate grievances there, but the sports field is probably not the place to air them.
No.
So anyway, hey, the race in Ohio
still ahead. Republican
still ahead, but it's still too close to call. It's interesting because it depends on what side you're on here. You and I were let's face it, we were gloating. We were gloating when the Republican won, but a lot of Democrats are making the argument that it was so close in a district that should be really safe that it says that blue wave is going to crash into Trump. So for more political analysis, let's check in now with ABC News political director Rick Klein. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
Hey, Rick, I got to say, I mean, you don't get a seat in Congress if you come in second, all right? It looks like... this guy has lost, but the Democrats are saying, hey, this is telling us that blue wave is rising. What do you think?
Well, look, it's not horseshoes or hand grenades or close counts. I get that entirely. But really why we pay attention to these special elections is what it tells us about the national landscape. And this is a red district. President Trump carried it by 11. Yes, it looks like the Republican is carried it by less than a point. That literally cannot be the case. The party can't afford that across the country. And if you extrapolate that across the country, it's going to be an awful, awful fall for Republicans. Now, you make a great point. The Republican won. A win is a win. You get to move on. But in terms of what we learn about the broader electorate, Republicans should not rest easy about this fall.
Rick, this election, they're going to redo it again in 3 months. But does the Republican, if he's certified, does he have the upper hand? And is it pretty much going to be a safe seat for Republicans in 3 months?
I'm not sure about that. You're actually thinking, yeah, I think that being an incumbent helps, but he's not going to have a chance to really vote on anything in the next couple months. They're mostly on recess and campaigning. And keep in mind, this is a suburban Columbus district. A lot of college students in that district that are home right now. They might going to be back in November. And increased interest in the race because there's a governor's race and a Senate race. So I think there's going to be a heck of a lot more voters, maybe a lot more Democrats voting. I know some Democrats that think he's actually got a better shot. The Democrat has a better shot in round two, even if he comes out second place in round one.
Hey, Rick, the thing that gets me is the Democratic issue seems to be we don't like Trump. They're not voting, they're not soliciting votes, I think, on policy, only in that his behavior is this, he's dangerous, he's all of that. It's just we don't like Trump, so vote for us.
Yeah, it's certainly flummoxing to Democrats, but they remember back to when the Tea Party wave really started. Their uniting theme was we don't like Obama. You can get a lot done by being in opposition. The Democrats won by we don't like Bush in 2006. So yes, you're right. They don't have an overriding vision that they're able to offer to voters. They may not need one. That's the fact of politics is that it's a lot easier to be against something than for something. And if you can find something as polarizing as President Trump, you can run on it.
Is there a struggle though now within the Democratic Party about how far to the left to go? I mean, Bernie Sanders and Ms. Cortez from our parts here, they were out campaigning for some hardcore lefties and they didn't do too well. Is there part of the Democratic Party still saying we got to be more centrist if we're going to win national elections?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you are seeing that, and I think it's a legitimate concern for Democrats. In fact, that wing, the Ocasio-Cortez Bernie Sanders wing, was had a pretty bad night the other night. It fell short in the Michigan governor's race where Bernie had campaigned over the weekend, in addition to some congressional races. So I think there's a real question about how far left the party can or should go that that has not been answered or close to answered so far.
Yeah. All right, Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Hey, quickly, Rick, what's on the show Sunday?
Well, Michael Avenatti, you remember him?
Oh, come on,
Rick, you're going to torture us.
Well, we'll tell you why, though. He's in Iowa over the
he's going to run
for president. I'm interested in what he tells Giancarlo about it. But I think the big story is going to be the anniversary of the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally. You know, they're bringing their anniversary party, such as it is, to the lawn of the White House. And we remember how the president handled this a year ago. It's going to be a real test, I think, to the president for how he responds.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll tune in on Sunday. Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Thanks a lot. Always fun to talk to you, Rick.
Let's go, Mets!
Now is your chance to win tickets to see the Mets take on the Giants August 23rd at Citi Field. I want you to be caller number 19, 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. If you are 19, you are a winner. To purchase tickets, visit Mets.com/tickets. And now let's get the news at 8:30 from Lisa G. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning and thanks, guys. An assistant basketball coach from Wake Forest has been arrested after throwing a punch that killed a tourist in the city. Jameel Jones allegedly punched Sander Szabo last Sunday morning, causing Szabo to hit his head and later die. Jones was arraigned last night on a misdemeanor assault charge. This report is sponsored by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. The parents of First Lady Melania Trump are now U.S. citizens. They used a process that President Trump has referred to as chain migration. The couple's attorney, Michael Wilds, defends the process. Melania Trump's parents had been living in the U.S. as permanent residents. And a mystery package that caused a bomb scare in New Jersey this week was actually a NASA experiment. Did you hear about this? Some guys were working in the solar panel field in South Brunswick, New Jersey, and this red parachute floated down from the sky with a note attached to it that said, NASA atmospheric research instrument, not a bomb. If this lands near the president, we at NASA wish him a great round of golf. Well, the guys who found it said, you know what, we don't trust this. We're calling the cops. The cops checked it out, and it was a weather balloon from NASA.
Really?
That's a weather weird. Balloon. It wasn't that big old baby pouty Trump balloon?
No.
They would have shot that.
You know it. Boom, right out of the sky.
But apparently they launch these things like 100 a day all over the country, and it apparently really helps weather forecasters. Jenissa from Channel 4 here in town said that it really helps weather forecasters, and they depend on it for, you know, what's going on up above. So there you go, a weather balloon.
Up, up, and away in my beautiful balloon. How's that, Lisa?
Oh, boy.
Didn't crack the top 10.
Singing, man.
Thank you very much. All right.
Hey, okay. You have a good singer coming up, though.
Yes, Catherine McPhee. Yes. I sat down in her dressing room backstage at Waitress with her earlier this week, and at 9:50, I'm going to play you some of that interview. It's a lot of fun. She's really charming. And I got to tell you, folks, she is terrific in Waitress. All right, coming up next, we got a lot of entertainment news. Demi Lovato is in rehab. Bradley Cooper making a big career move. And is Les Moonves going to survive? We'll delve into it with my friend Larry Hackett, the former editor of People magazine. But first, let's get some traffic from Cindy Waitman. Happy Friday, everybody. It's a Len-free zone today. Len is off resting, recuperating from dealing with me all week long. So I'm here with Joe Bartlett.
You can be exhausting.
Oh, no. Come on, that's not fair. Len's the one who exasperates
that's
us.
That's true.
With his lefty leanings the whole time here.
He does get tiring.
He does. Hey, I want to congratulate Chris Kearns from Mammoth Junction, New Jersey. I look at Joe Bartlett because I have no idea where any of these towns in New Jersey are. I know where the Newark Airport is in New Jersey. That's pretty much it. So, all right. I want to welcome to the studio my good friend Larry Hackett, the former editor of People magazine. He's here to talk about all things entertainment. And I think Larry's greatest claim to fame was that he gave me my start in journalism.
That's it. I couldn't agree more. That was my greatest
claim. Really? You did this?
I did.
Wow. He did. When I was a kid reporter at the Daily News and Larry was moving up the ranks as a features editor there, he came to me one day and he said, you know a lot about Broadway. How'd you like to have a Broadway column? And that's how it all began.
Oh, how about that?
Look at where we are. My best decisions. And look where we are now.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Demi Lovato, now you covered her a lot when you were running People magazine.
Sure.
She's always been battling addiction problems. She's canceled her concert engagements and tours now. She's in rehab. Is there any hope for this girl?
Well, one hopes so. As you imagine, the whole notion of rehab is that there is hope for people, right? And we all know stories of people who go back repeatedly to get help. I think she's been very open about this. You know, it's a classic case in many ways of, you know, a child star. When I met her, I think she was 15 years old and on tour with the Jonas Brothers. And she's been in the limelight since she was a little kid on television and then on the stage. And there's a lot of things that need to get worked out. I think she's been very honest about the idea that this is an ongoing process. So there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of, negativity around her. And so far as, not being able to get better. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's all about who's around you, right? And it's never about when you're in rehab. You never hear stories where you don't often hear stories about people in rehab doing anything bad in there. It's when they get out. And it's the network of people that they're around. And what are you doing at 8:30 in the morning and then at 12:30 in the afternoon? Right. And that's where it gets hard.
Well, I mean, there were reports that she was hanging out with friends who some people have called enablers.
Well, is that a surprise? I mean, she's a rich young woman who lives in Hollywood, has a big house and a pool and a lot of, expendable money, and there are people. There's always people in Hollywood who want to hang around that. There's no shortage of that.
And they have these.
That's the cockroach of Hollywood. I mean, they'll never go away.
And they have, they have these parties though, where these kids hanging around her. They actually carry the drugs to get you off the fall, so you can party, do the drugs, and then they've got the drugs to save you from dying.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that is a recipe for a disaster.
Well, cops carry that now, too. I mean, you're
talking about
the
Narcon?
Exactly, yeah, Narcon. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that brings it back. But the idea that, when you go to a party, you have that just in case. It's kind of chilling.
Yeah, I have a column in the New York Post today. You might want to pick it up and read it because it's always scintillating.
You want to plug the book too while you're at it?
And my book, Razzle Dazzle, The Battle for Broadway from Simon & Schuster. It's a terrific book. It's going to be made into a TV series. Les Moonves.
Yes.
All right. No question, one of the great media moguls of all time.
Right.
Great, great leader of CBS. He's under attack now. Ronan Farrow had the article in The New Yorker. Sexual misconduct going back several years. Do you think he survives? Can he be the guy who beats the charge.
I don't know if this is the case with Les, but what has been consistently the case with all of these stories is when there are two, there are 10, there are 20 accusations against someone. And it's usually when the tipping point comes that people realize that what's been written about, whether in the New Yorker or the New York Times, is only the beginning of what's still out there, that there's always more. I think in the case of Les Moonves, it may come to discover whether or not there's any more. We just don't know that.
Well, there are rumors out there that Ronan Farrow is working on a part two for The New Yorker about Les Moonves and CBS.
As these stories always do, people come out of the woodwork when they see it. They kind of look out there and see whether or not it's safe. I wonder whether or not in this case it might be different, right? That because he is still there, people may still be worried and not willing to speak about things, assuming that they are out there. You know, he's also locked in. You know, separate from this is this, you know, court, you know, boardroom drama involving Sherry Redstone and the attempt by Viacom to take over CBS. That has to figure into all this.
But he's good for the company, so might he not stay?
He might stay, but I think the board will look, put their fingers up and say, okay, is this worth it? What happens? You know, it's always this. What's the stock price of CBS? Yeah. What are people saying? Are advertisers pulling out? And that's always where these things end up or often fall apart.
Is it hard for him to stay, though, when Charlie Rose, who worked for him, it comes out with Charlie Rose, and Charlie Rose was gone like that?
Well, there's that, and there's also these stories about the 60 Minutes and CBS News and this general culture that he, at the very least, tolerated, if not encouraged. So if that starts to stick and last, it depends. It's really touch and go. You know, it's August. I think he has weathered this first blast. Whether or not there's anything more, we'll find out. But it remains to be seen whether or not he can hold on.
These guys who've been hashtag Me Too, Kevin Spacey. I mean, let's forget Harvey Weinstein. He's never coming back. But is there a remote possibility that Kevin Spacey could make a comeback?
You're the theater man. You tell me. I don't know. I think anything is possible. I mean, I think we live in a time where things are moving so quickly. The news cycle is so fast. And there is, of course, you know, in the celebrity ecosystem, forgiveness is usually one of the stages of things that people go through. Mm-hmm. I think it all depends whether or not he has any kind of sense of forgiveness. We all remember what happened. It was the accusations against Kevin Spacey and his kind of groping and sort of like preying upon young men. But it was his response that drove people crazy.
He used it to say, well, I'm gay, as if, you know,
okay
I should
for
be.
Joking to do that.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, and leave me alone and making a joke. And I can't really remember. It was so tone deaf. That I think that was what the final stage was.
But don't they usually go to like a purgatory? You just kind of stay there.
I think
and
this
then
is new.
You're rewarded again. You come back.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, in some of these cases, you know, Kevin Spacey is not at the twilight of his career by any means. In some cases, I think some people may say, you know what, it's not worth it. Like, look at a guy like Matt Lauer.
Well, he's finished. And he's banking out. He's selling, up here.
Why do you say he's finished?
See, I don't think he is.
Yeah,
I think he is.
You do?
I think that button, you know, where you can lock the door.
But
those are the things.
Right,
but button, you have something like that hung around your neck, and there's something really creepy about a button that locks the door when the babe's in the office.
Right.
That sticks with you. Kevin Spacey, I think if he replaces Bette Midler in Hello, Dolly, he may have a comeback. Hey, very quickly, Larry, what do you think about the Oscars, the new category, popular movie?
I think the reason the Oscars are doing this is because Hollywood no longer makes the mainstream middle movies that were both artistically creative and were popular. When you look at Oscars from, let's say, 20, 25 years ago, Driving Miss Daisy, Platoon, Gladiator, these are popular pictures, and they were great pieces of art. Right now, Hollywood makes cartoons in the form of, you know, Avengers and these tentpoles, you know, superheroes. Ant-Man, exactly. And then on the other end, in the fall, all these movies come out of the film festivals that are small art movies, often not even made in the United States. And that's what the Oscars end up, you know, awarding. The problem is, though, the Oscars are not just an award show. They're a huge global television event. ABC needs people to watch the show. And unless you have Tom Cruise's and people like that walking down the red carpet, you're not going to get them. So is it a cynical ploy to get people like Tom Cruise on the red carpet? Probably. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I don't think anybody really cares. And I don't think it takes away from the main awards. I think all this quailing that's going on with critics saying it's terrible and it's taking away the integrity of the Oscars. It's like, are you kidding me? The Oscars has been gamed by everyone from Harvey Weinstein to the studios for years. The idea that this is some Nobel Prize of the movies is absurd. It's called show business.
Exactly. You can get me on the red carpet without even nominating for anything. And the ratings the ratings would go through the roof if I'm on the red carpet.
Oh, gosh.
Very low roof.
All right. Larry Hackett, former editor of People, thanks a lot for joining us here in the studio. When we come back, we got a guy in Brooklyn randomly shooting people and an ex-congressional candidate charged with murder. Wackadoodle time, folks. Let's get some traffic from Cindy Waitman. Happy Friday, everybody. Something we teased Joe earlier in the show, but we didn't get to because we're jam-packed with stuff. I said, let's get lost in space with Mike Pence. Well, old Vice President, he was out there the other day saying that the United States needs a space force to be ready for Battlestar Galactica. He warns that Russia and China have already militarized the final frontier. Do you think we need to be in space?
Yes. You know, I mean, everybody laughed at Trump. I mean, because it came from Trump. Oh, yeah, what's that?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Well, right? Army and space. What was he thinking about? This is Star Wars. But there are a lot of strategic equipment in the sky. Satellites.
Yes, absolutely. Got to be protected.
Yeah, I mean, it provides us intelligence, all the GPS information, spy capabilities, mm-hmm. and you can't allow them to be vulnerable. So
right.
it makes perfect sense.
And my feeling is if the Russian and Chinese are already out there, we can't give them room to have a head start to get out there in space.
I don't know why.
I don't think, see, it was misinterpreted. People, Donald Trump wants war in space.
Right.
That's how the left saw it.
I don't know why he let Pence do this.
Well, because Pence looks like an astronaut. He does.
Let's listen to him. He's not very exciting.
The men and women who run and protect our nation's space programs today are already the best in the world. Since the dawn of the space age, America has remained the best in space.
Okay. No Neil Armstrong. William Shatner would be a better spokesman for the space race, I think.
The question is, how much is it going to cost? How do you do it? And the Pentagon isn't the fastest moving agency in government.
No.
So it'll take a while for them to get tooled up.
Yeah, but, you know, remember when Kennedy said, I want to go to the moon? He said that, what, in 1960? And by 69, we were there.
Okay. Nine years?
Well, 9 years, that's not that long to take to be able to come up with a rocket that can get the guys to the moon and get them back safely.
I'm very happy about that 1969 moment. That's great.
I have faith
Speaking
in NASA.
I had forgotten that Chappaquiddick happened in 1969. I just watched that movie, Chappaquiddick, and Ted Kennedy was actually fortunate that the moon landing occurred during the Chappaquiddick episode,
right?
So that it didn't get that extensive coverage it would have gotten had there not been the moonwalk.
I've always wanted to rent a car up around Hyannisport and slap a bumper sticker I have on the back of the car, and the bumper sticker says Ted Kennedy for lifeguard. Wouldn't that be fun to drive around compound?
It's still an amazing story. The guy drives off a bridge with a girl.
Yep.
Leaves.
She drowns.
Takes a sweet time, goes home, has dinner, and, and then, by the way, there's a dead girl in the car.
Unbelievable. Only a Kennedy could get away with that.
Yes.
Hey, there's a newly released surveillance video. It shows the moment a man casually shoots at two people in the Bronx. The suspect is seen firing several shots as he walks across the street at Wythe Place and East 171st Street in Mount Eden around 10:45 p.m. A 24-year-old man was hit in the right forearm, and a 17-year-old man was struck in the left thigh and right hand. We've got this video up on our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. And you take a look at it, and this guy is just sauntering down
the street. I hope he has carry guard.
Cute show. Well, no. He's not doing it in self-defense. Not going to help him at all.
Well,
he's sauntering down the street.
If he's got insurance.
You carry guard, Joe, is only for self-defense. If somebody comes at you and you pull your gun and you shoot him and then they decide to sue you.
Maybe
that's
he felt threatened.
Look at him in the video. He's sauntering down the street. He just casually takes the gun out. Pop. Pop. Just like that. Carry guard is not going to help this guy.
I'm glad this bothers you, though.
It does bother me.
Oh, good. How do we deal with these kinds of guys?
We arrest them and give them the death penalty by firing squad.
Used to be if you had, I'm not even quite sure, if you committed a crime with a weapon, you got extra time in prison.
Right.
Although now we don't like to keep people in prison too long.
And here's another from the annals of crime. A former congressional candidate in Georgia was charged with murder in the shooting of her former campaign treasurer. Her name is...
I'm sure he deserved it.
Right. He was stealing the funds. Kelly Lynn Collins, 30, surrendered to authorities Thursday in McDuffie County in connection with the death of the 41-year-old Kurt Kane, whose body was found at his home. Now, Collins ran as a Democrat for a 10th congressional district.
Democrat,
see?
Huh?
I'm so glad. I tell you, when I saw this story, I was so glad it was a Democrat and not a Republican, because it could be used against us. She ran as a Democrat for 10th congressional district seat in 2018, but dropped out of the race for personal reasons.
Something's going on with those two.
It's got to be a little love thing going kind of wrong, don't you think? They must have had some sort of an affair or something like that.
Something's going on there, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, congressional candidate scorned. The victim was found Tuesday night at his home in Aiken after his employer requested that someone go check on him because he hadn't shown up. His Subaru was also missing as well. And he died of gunshot wounds. And the woman, Kelly Lynn Collins, well, she's not going to the Capitol.
It's not a problem. She has carry
She's
guard.
She's going to jail.
She's got carry guard. Don't
exactly.
worry.
Exactly. Hey, stick around. If you're a commuter, it's going to be the summer and the fall and maybe even the entire year of hell. My advice, stay home. Let's get the news at 9 o'clock.
At our iHeartRadio Music Festival now. Text the keyword DICE to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. Text DICE to 200-200. This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Happy Friday, everybody. I hope you have fun plans for the weekend. The weekend began early for Len. It is a Len-free zone today. Just Joe Bartlett and myself holding down the fort with a little help here from Lisa G. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Michael.
Our big three, the Wake Forest basketball coach, has been arrested. Now, he is the guy who clocked the tourist from Boca Raton. The guy fell over, cracked his head apparently on the pavement, and is dead. The coach's name is Jamal Jones. He was arrested on Thursday. Now, the tourist was drunk.
I like the way you said that story. Like, clocked him. I mean, it's,
what?
I mean, really. No wonder you work for the New York Post.
Well, that's how we write, and that's how we speak.
Clocked him.
You know, it was great.
Now, how about this version?
What?
A coach from North Carolina felt threatened, defended himself, and punched a man who was banging on his car, and sadly, he fell down, hit his head, and died.
It's fine, except I would get rid of the adverb sadly, and instead of punched, I'd use clocked. Because it's just punchier prose,
yeah,
my
right,
friend.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Punchier. I remember one of the great leads, I think I wrote it, frankly, when Liza Minnelli went into rehab for about the 800th time, I said, for Liza Minnelli, life is a Cabernet.
That's a good
that
one.
That is writing worthy of Hemingway, Bartlett. Worthy of Hemingway. Hey, also in our big three, you got to pick up the front page of the New York Post, because if you're a commuter, it's going to be a nightmare. If you thought the summer of hell was bad, get ready for the transit apocalypse. L train shutdown. We know that's coming in April. So if you live out in Williamsburg, that's the hot, hip, happening place. Once upon a time, you could buy an apartment out there for $20, and now they're going for millions of dollars. But with the L train shutting down,
you get them for $20 again.
Buy an opportunity, folks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the L train is going to be back up at some point, maybe. A
couple of years.
Well, all right. So you walk across the Brooklyn Bridge.
It's kind of hard to get to work from out there.
It is. It's impossible. Yeah. I was actually toying with the idea. Yeah, striking out into Red Hook, because my girlfriend and I, we like to ride our bike out to Red Hook on Saturdays. They've got a great winery out there, the Red Hook Winery. They've got a fun bar, the Brooklyn Crab Bar, where you can get a beer after a long bike ride. And I really like it out there. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, you could get something here at a good price. And then I thought, how the hell am I going to get to work?
It's a long bike ride.
It's a long bike ride.
Especially in January.
January, February, March, into April. Anyway, everything's crazy here. Gridlock on the streets, the train and subway delays.
I don't think we are aware of just how much of a problem this is going to be. I think it's going to be huge.
We got the Lincoln Tunnel. They're doing helix work. And they're going to shut down two lanes in the four-lane Lincoln Tunnel. Do you know how long it's going to take you to get into that tunnel?
If it rains, that's a nightmare.
Totally.
And now they're going to take away two lanes.
Totally. No, it's really awful. And also, rounding out the big three, I want to congratulate Melania Trump's parents. They became United States citizens yesterday. They're from Slovenia. Victor and Amelie, I think her name is. They're in their 70s. They were sworn in. They passed the citizenship test, and they were helped by chain migration, which is a little bit of an irony there.
Chain migration.
Well, here's the thing about chain migration. I understand Trump's concern with it, because when it's used as it is with Melania Trump's parents, okay, she's been here a long time. Her parents have been here a long time. Happy to have them as American citizens. But when you just get here and you're trying to game the system with chain migration to get as many of your relatives over the border and become citizens, then we have a problem.
But so they came in, I guess, because she is a citizen became a citizen so that they can come in. But it took them 5 years, right? They were here for 5 years as a permanent resident, and then they became eligible for citizenship.
Yes, this is the proper way to go about it.
And it's the parents. It's not like your third cousin. I think that's some of the other issues that the president was talking about. They've just, any extended family member is eligible because one family member is here.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, you know, we don't know about Melania. She could have a lot of secret relatives out there that she's going to get over
the
border before Trump builds a wall. She's got some inside dope on when that wall's going up, so she's getting the whole family over here right now.
I think we have plenty of time.
Hey, coming up later, we got Joe Neumeier, WOR's movie minute guy. He's going to be talking about a new shark movie. And at 9:54, I sat down the other day with Catherine McPhee, star of Waitress. I went backstage and hung out with her and had a fun interview, and we're going to play excerpts of the interview with Catherine McPhee. She's a lovely, lovely woman, and I have to tell you, Joe, I saw her in Waitress. Waitress, not the kind of show that I thought would appeal to me. You know, it's this sad woman. She works in a diner, and she makes pies, and she finds herself as, like, empowerment through pies. Not my kind of thing. It's a, it's a women's movie. But she was terrific, and I really liked the show. It was a wonderful score by Sarah Bareilles.
I liked her performance in the show that you starred in.
Smash!
Yeah.
That's right. She was my co-star in Smash.
Yeah, right.
She didn't remember me when I said
she didn't.
No, I'm kidding. She vaguely remembered me.
Really? Oh, you were such a star in that show.
I know.
I saw the video. She looked. You guys looked kind of cozy together. I had to pull the audio, and so I had to watch the video. She looked like she was hot for you.
She likes old men. She likes old men. I know that.
Even I'm not as old as David Foster, her fiance. Hey, we got a call from Monica on line one in Long Island. Monica, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
So happy to speak to you.
Without Len. Oh, Len?
But I have to make a confession.
Yeah.
It took me a little while to warm up to you.
Uh-oh.
But I love you now.
Oh, thank you, Monica. What was the block
Awesome.
What was the block there for a while?
I don't know. I'm a creature of habit, and I love to listen to the same radio station. I listen to you guys every morning. So you are a new face and voice, and I just had to just get to know you.
Well, I got news for you. The voice is better than the face, so you're lucky. You're not seeing me on TV.
I find that hard to believe.
Oh, thank you, Monica.
So I just, I know, it's so wonderful in the morning to have people that you feel like you're friends with that you can listen to. I'm driving around by myself a lot of times in the morning, getting to work and whatever, and you guys don't realize how much of community and happiness you bring to people. Well, I hope you do realize it, because it's wonderful.
Well, thank you, Monica. I appreciate that. Can you lend me some money?
You're welcome. So I just wanted to make one quick comment about the basketball coach. The thing is that I don't understand, why did he get out of the car in the first place? If a drunk person was knocking on my window, even if I was with my husband or other people, I would roll the window up, lock the doors, and try to drive away.
Monica,
like, I don't understand.
Monica, that's exactly what I said. If someone's banging on my door, I'm not going to get out. I'm going to make sure the door's locked and the windows are rolled up.
That's the part that I think is going to get him in trouble, unfortunately.
Michael, see, you're a coward.
Monica's not a coward. She's sensible.
I'm not a sensible coward.
But most people in New York know enough to probably just lock the doors and don't get. The guy's from North Carolina. What does he know? A guy's, you know, looking to fight with him. He's a big, tall guy, strong guy. Hey, come on, you want to mess with me?
No, we're not talking about the tourists. We're talking about the coach.
No,
why didn't he just stay in the car, roll up the windows, and lock the door?
But I'm saying that, you know, unlike a New Yorker who would react that way, this guy's from North Carolina. He probably felt threatened. He's big enough, strong enough. I'm going to defend myself.
Oh, the coach is from
the coach, yeah.
Well, but he's been here. He's worked here. He's in Wake Forest. Come on, he's not a rube. He doesn't have hayseed coming out of his hair.
I understand
what you're saying, Joe, but I just think that that's the part that's going to get him in more trouble, unfortunately.
But
he was a good guy.
But Monica, what about the aggressive behavior of the guy who sadly died? He started this whole process in motion.
I can't really imagine that the coach's life was in danger and he had to defend himself because he could have just locked his car and driven away.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm with you, Monica.
I don't think the drunk tourist behavior was appropriate, but I don't think it's that the coach's life was necessarily in danger from that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Monica, I'm with you. You and I are going to stay in the car. We're going to roll up the windows and we're going to cower in the front seat until the trouble goes away.
Be safe, Monica.
Monica, it's good to hear from you. Have a good weekend, okay?
Have a great weekend, guys. Thank you so much.
You take care.
Let me ask you this. If there are big, sizable dents in the coach's car, would that sort of say...
How is a guy pounding on a car going to put a dent in your car? Come on, Joe. He's not Iron Man, for God's sake.
I don't know.
You could put a dent by banging on the car. Please.
You can't.
A human hand cannot dent a car.
Yes, sure.
No,
it can't. Maybe not a Broadway guy, but I can put a dent in a car. I'll smash my head in the car. Bang!
Yeah, well, you know, some people, they belt... This guy, this coach, he belted the guy. You know what I do? I belt out a tune.
Actually, that happened to me one time.
What? Somebody sang a show tune at you?
No. I was in line, and I bumped into this car in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, it just kind of a little tap, you know, because I guess I was half asleep or whatever.
Where was you coming from? What bar, Joe?
And so the guy gets out, and he starts screaming at me. Why would I see your license? Give me your driver's license. I said, I'm not giving you any license, but I didn't get out of the car. Fortunately, a police officer came over and said, you, get back in your car. And you, don't hit people.
Joe Bartlett's just telling me, I have every right to get out of his car if he's banging on the car. He-Man Joe Bartlett, then the story comes out. I yelled at him, but I kept the windows rolled up and the door locked. Good job, Joe. All right, when we come back, you're not going to believe this story. There's a girl, she's on a bridge. She could jump in the water, but she's little concerned, and some jerk pushes her. I'm going to tell you about that when we come back. But first, let's get some traffic from Cindy Waitman. Good morning, everybody, on Friday. Now, this is a segment that Len likes to call the video segment, because there's nothing better than videos on the radio. But we're going to describe some pretty hair-raising stuff to you, and then you can go to our website, 710WOR.com/LennandMichael. And what we're talking about, we've got the videos up there, and you have to see some of this stuff to believe it. Now, here's the one that everybody is talking about this morning. So, 16-year-old girl, she's in Washington State. She's at Moulton Falls Regional Park, and she's on a bridge, and she's looking over a river where people swim in there. It's a 60-foot bridge. People jump off that bridge. You can swim at your own risk. That's what they say. But, you know, 60 feet, that's a bit of a plunge, would you say?
It's a big jump. Yeah,
yeah, it's a big jump.
Yeah.
So, you know, she doesn't know if she wants to do it. Some trepidation about, you know, diving off the bridge. Somebody who wants to jump shoves her, just pushes her off the bridge.
I know, I saw that.
And she broke 5 ribs. Bruised esophagus, injured her trachea, punctured her lung. She's lucky not to be paralyzed and not dead. And we don't know. They are asking, they're looking into this. They're asking for the woman to do the right thing and turn herself into police because they don't know yet who pushed this
was
girl.
It looked like a guy from the video, but she was pushed from behind.
She was pushed from behind. They say, no, it's a woman who pushed this girl, Jordan Holgerson. She has since apologized, but Jordan and her mother do not believe that that is enough. They are asking for the woman to do the right thing and turn herself into the police who are investigating the incident. Authorities said that it is illegal to jump off the bridge because it is extremely dangerous, but a few people try it every year. And this woman, you know, she just shoved her. You got to see the video, 710WOR.com/LennandMichael. It's pretty harrowing. And this girl, Jordan, is lucky to be alive.
She is lucky to be alive because she kind of, you know, who knew how she would fall.
Now, she probably shouldn't have been on that bridge contemplating jumping in the first place.
Correct, yes.
You know, I mean, she was going to do something you shouldn't be doing there. You can swim in the river, but you don't jump off the bridge. But, you know, that's what kids do. So,
yeah, I guess.
Now, this is a really, you want to be creeped out? Check out this one. The kid who murdered his classmates, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they have his interrogation video. His name is Nicholas Cruz. The video lasts 13 hours, and in it, he says he heard a demon voice in his head, a voice that told him to go back to his school and kill his former classmates. And then he starts punching himself in the face. Starts punching himself in the face. And at one point, he can be heard saying, "Kill me. I want to die." I mean, this guy.
How do you get to that kind of a state? That's scary, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean,
he really so looks psychopath, like a catatonic. Wacko.
Yeah, you got to check out this video too. 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. You can see the interrogation video of Nicholas Cruz. You know, whenever I heard demon voices in my head, I think of Son of Sam.
That's right.
Because he was the dog.
The dog was talking to him.
The
yeah.
dog talked to him to go out and kill all those people. Now the question is, do you believe these people? Are they catatonic? Are they that crazy? Or are they just sort of coming up with an excuse so they can get some insane plea and get off without, you know, going to the electric chair?
That guy in the video didn't look like he was acting. He looked like he was just totally whacked out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Punching himself in the face. Just terrible. I don't know. And also, here's one that Anthony found. I love animal shows, you know, but I like the more placid ones where they show birds migrating. And
I like the ones where lions eat the antelope. That's much more entertaining.
Like the laws of the jungle. Yes. Well, all right, here's one for you. A frantic fight between a jaguar and a caiman, which is close to an alligator.
That's right, yeah.
A caiman is like an alligator, went down in Brazil's Corrixo Negro River. And, oh, my God.
Who won?
The jaguar... One, because
really?
Here's what the tour guide says. The sound of the breaking of the caiman's neck, I will never forget.
Wow.
Talk about the crack of the bat.
Well, having watched all of those videos, that's usually that's the first thing they go for is the neck.
Right.
Because it immobilizes the person.
Yeah. Well, in this case, it's an alligator, but it has the same amount of person and an alligator. Now, here's the thing. If you get into a fight with an alligator, you're going to go for the neck, Joe.
I'm not going to punch him in the mouth.
Let me tell you, I have looked into this now. Yeah. I found a website that tells you how to fend off
an
attack from dangerous animals with an alligator. See, what an alligator does is it clamps down on you. It's not going to eat you right there. All right.
They're going to take you down in the
water.
It's
going to take you down in the water, and it's going to spin you around in the water, mm-hmm. and you have no idea where the heck you are until you drowned.
Right.
And then it's going to, then it takes you and it sort of sticks you in its nest, and it waits for its little babies to hatch because then they have something to eat. And that's you.
Well, let's not get to the nest. How do we get not end up in the nest? What's the trick?
You have got to go either for the snout, because the alligator's snout is very sensitive. So you basically want to pound that snout, or if you can find the eyes, you want to take your thumb and you want to gouge that eye out, and the alligator will let you go.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm ever snared by an alligator, now I know what to do.
There's this story. It happened in Australia. These two models, I think this was in the early 80s, they were on a yacht and they were in a saltwater river where there are a lot of really deadly crocodiles. And the two models, they decide to go for a swim. And all of a sudden, the crocodile's head pops up. And the crocodile starts to go for one of the models. And you can see the crocodile's under the water. All this little snout is up. And the line is getting faster and faster, moving this model. The model took her shoe off and she threw it at the crocodile. Hit it in the snout. Crocodile pops up again, looks. Turns around. The other model starts to swim away. Decides, I'm not going to go for the one who threw the shoe at me. But the one swimming, she looks good. Went under the water. That line went right for that model. All of a sudden, the model is thrust up above the waterline. She looks around, sort of like, I don't know what's going on. Down, never to be found.
Yeah, wait a minute. It's a true story. Was a model swimming with her shoes on?
Well, they were like wading in the river, you know, the water. She had her sneakers on. She had her sneaker on. And they were sort of trapped in a little area. They couldn't get out. The crocodile was coming at them.
Yeah.
They were trapped. And the one model threw the sneaker at the alligator, and she survived. And the one who tried to swim away, because here, newsflash, folks, you can't outswim a crocodile. Oh, wow. She wound up to be food for the little baby gators.
Well, I'm glad I know what to do now.
Moral of the story, right, always wear stilettos.
Let's get some news at 9:30 from Lisa G. Good morning, Lisa.
Okay, thanks, guys. President Trump is going after NFL players again, saying they should be standing for the national anthem. He tweets that players that don't stand should be suspended. Several players kneeled or remained in the locker room during preseason games last night, including Telvin Smith of the Jaguars.
I got beliefs. I did what I did. Don't know if it's going to be every week. Can't answer if it's going to be every week. But as a man, I got to stand for something.
President Trump.
What the heck is he standing for? Something.
Well, he said.
I'm standing for something. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
Well, he wants to feel part of, you know, whatever's going on. So that's what
he's
something.
Doing.
Yeah. That's enough for
they
him.
They don't know what they're doing.
But this gentleman doesn't care. He just wants to be
part of something.
Exactly.
So he's kneeling and standing at the same time. He kneels and stands for something.
That how he's kneeling to stand
he's
for
kneeling
something.
To stand for something. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah. None of this makes sense to me.
It is going to be a travel nightmare. Repair work to Route 495 near the Lincoln in New Jersey begins tonight with the 31st Street ramp from Kennedy Boulevard closing. And work will continue until the year 2021. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 157 points. S&P is down 16. And the NASDAQ is down 52.
Where's the ding, 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 ding?
Oh,
happy Friday, everybody. 20 minutes more, and then we're out of here. I hope you have had a productive week and have some fun plans for the weekend. Got plans, Joe Bartlett? You're not going to be playing golf because it's going to rain tomorrow, so that's out.
I don't know. The nice thing about rainy Saturdays, you don't have to do any outside yard work.
The nice thing about living in an apartment is you never have to do any outside yard work. Hey, we were talking, I was telling the story about this model in Australia who in 1987, she was swimming in crocodile-infested waters, and the croc got her. Well, I just looked her up, and Ginger Faye Meadows, 24 years old, when she was eaten by a large saltwater crocodile March 29th, 1987. There's a picture of her. I'm going to put this up on our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. And
kind of cute.
If I were a crocodile, I'd take a bite out of her.
Yeah.
She's a nice looking lady, but she hasn't been with us in quite a while. So, all right, let's check in with WOR Movie Minute Guy, Joe Neumeier. He's got to sink his teeth into a new shark movie called The Meg. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. And this is not a boating accident, as they say in Jaws from 1975. We were talking about Oscar nominees yesterday, by the way. I just want to throw in there, people talk about blockbusters not being nominated. Jaws in 1975 was nominated for Best Picture.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it was. Now, The Meg, the movie that's opening this weekend about another giant shark, will not be nominated for Best Picture. I would bet $1 million on that. It's a two-star movie. It's obviously, you know, a summer thing about a giant shark that is unearthed under the surface of the sea by a team of laboratory scientists, and they call in Jason Statham, who I generally kind of like as an action hero, to come and hunt it down, and there's about eight of them on this ship, and this thing is supposed to be like from the Cretaceous period or whatever. It's just the biggest megalodon that ever existed, and who knew it was still around? Well, the producers did, and then they kind of set it loose, and it goes chomping on people at the beach. There's movie references up the wazoo. There's to Jaws, Jaws 2, Jaws 3. I think there's even a Jaws the Revenge reference in there. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Moby Dick, you name it. I think only Sharknado is the only thing that I think doesn't get name dropped. I will say, though, that like if you're going to sit and watch a movie for 2 hours in the middle of summer and you want to cool off in the air conditioning, it's not the worst thing in the world. But I would, you know, check your brain at the door or let the shark eat it, you know, as the movie goes on, because it's dumb fun, but emphasis on the dumb, you know.
Hey, Joe, do you know what movie Jaws lost to at the 1975 Oscars?
Rocky, I believe, right?
No, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, of course, one of the great ones.
That's a great movie, much better than Jaws. Yeah.
Oh, come on, Jaws is
Jaws is nice, but One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
It's a good movie, but I think Jaws holds up to better viewing than One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Cuckoo's Nest is a little dated, if you ask me.
I love Cuckoo's Nest. I also think it's one of those movies where, I mean, it was the second movie in history to win all those, you know, the top five, picture, director, actor, actress, and screenplay. And I think it deserves it, because when you look at it, I think it does, I mean, is it a little dated? Sure, but it also is set in the early 60s from, you know, Ken Kesey's book, and it's a fantastic Nicholson performance, and I think that, you know, it's the one of the ones that holds up the most from the mid-70s.
Speaking of acting, how's the acting in The Meg?
Oh, God, don't even... I think it was the first victim of the shark attack. It's an international cast that's thrown in there, and then there's like Rainn Wilson from The Office shows up as sort of his character keeps changing. Sometimes he's a blowhard, sometimes he's obnoxious, sometimes he's sympathetic and kind of funny. He's the rich guy who's funding the whole thing, and it's all over the place. It's really a mess. You know, you're really not going for the acting. There's also a very cheap ripoff of the great moment in Jaws when the dog is eaten. Remember when the dog picked Pippin.
Oh, yeah.
Goes, yeah, there, well, there's another little dog called Pippin here, and there's a little reference to that. It's really ridiculous. It will make you, though, say, you know what? I think I want to watch those terrible Jaws sequels, Jaws 2 and
yes.
Jaws 3 and Jaws the Revenge. This time it's personal, went the tagline for that
one. Do you remember the one that Michael Caine did?
Oh, but that's Jaws the Revenge, yeah.
Yeah, so Michael Caine told me he made that movie for the money.
Right.
And he said to me, this guy's famous.
This is a great quote.
He said he never saw the movie. So I never saw the movie, but you should see the house that it built.
Exactly. But I have seen the house it made, and it's beautiful.
That's right. No, that was crazy.
Quote.
Hey, you know, the Meg isn't any good, and we always talk about Jaws, but there's one shark movie that I always thought was terrific called Open Water. Remember that one, Joe?
Oh, yeah, Open Water is good. Open Water, and you know what? Open Water is sort of fun, as is like Deep Blue Sea, which was sort of crazy with Sam Jackson in the 90s, where they've kind of given an intelligence boost to the sharks, and so that one was okay. There's also one a couple of years ago called The Shallows, with, I think it's Blake Lively, as a woman who's trapped on a rock, and there's a giant shark swirling around the rock, and she's got to be able to get from the rock to the beach. Those are all okay. Yeah, and Open Water was filmed in a very realistic way. It was terrifying. So,
well, that's the one based on the true story about the couple. They were scuba diving,
right.
And the boat left them behind out in the sea.
That's
and they're just sitting floating in the sea. And as night comes on, so do the sharks.
So do the sharks.
And they begin to nip away, nibbling through the night.
Nibbling. You know, I mean, it's in terms of the way monsters go in movies, I certainly will take a giant shark to like any of the Jason or the Friday the 13th movies or Halloween. We've got another Halloween movie coming up this fall. You know, when Michael Myers is back, I will take a giant shark to those things any day because I think they're sort of fun. And obviously, this is not even like Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is better than this, which I wasn't crazy about that either. So, but if you're looking for giant creature movies and you want to have 2 hours in the air conditioning, it's not the worst thing in the world. But
2 hours in air conditioning, that's all it's worth.
Joe, very quickly before we go, breaking news this morning that the producers of the Bond movies are considering Idris Elba to play James Bond. What do you think?
I think it's a really interesting and I think a good decision. I don't know if it's going to if the fan base is really going to care. Obviously, you know, I'm a James Bond fan, and anybody who sort of goes in deep on those Bond movies knows that there is that theory of like, was James Bond just a code name and was it all different guys, which explains George Lazenby's line of this never happened to the other guy. I think at this point it would probably rejuvenate the series in a great way. I mean, if they're looking for ways to shake it up, and Elders is a great actor, and I think that it might really do the thing to kind of make people go to Bond movies again. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it's a good idea?
Nobody tops Roger Moore in my book.
Right. Oh, really? Oh, I'm a Sean Connery guy. But I also think George Lazenby and Daniel Craig are great, too. I think Lazenby got a short shrift. He wasn't an actor, but that movie won on Honor, Majesty, Secret Service is great, too. So,
gotta go, Joe. Thanks
Take
a
care,
lot.
Guys.
We'll Have check in with you next week. Take care.
Bye,
all right.
Joe.
When we come back, we're going to play my interview with Catherine McPhee, the star of Waitress. I sat down with her in her dressing room. She was delightful and charming. That's coming up next. But first, let's get some traffic from Cindy Waitman. Well, we're wrapping it up here on Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. But stick around for Mark Simone. Guest host today is Joe Concha from The Hill. He's just waving at me from the window. Good morning, Joe Concha.
He's a good guy.
Gearing up. He's gearing up for a fun Mark Simone. So, now, the other day, I popped up to the Brooks Atkinson Theater, where the hit musical Waitress is playing. That was written by Sarah Bareilles, very talented. And Sarah Bareilles was terrific in the show as well. But Catherine McPhee, who you know from Smash, my co-star on that popular NBC TV series that lasted just 2 years, should have been longer. Had I had a bigger part, it would be still running, I'm sure.
It was one of my favorite shows. I know you liked it.
I know you. In fact, when I first met Joe, and when I came to work, his jaw dropped because he was stunned.
I was hoping it was Catherine McPhee was going to be hired, but you came in instead.
Do you know how many autograph pictures I've had to give Joe and his friends from my days on Smash? Well, anyway, Catherine McPhee is now starring in Waitress. She did, of course, make her name as a American Idol contestant, and she was the star of Smash. And this is my favorite song on the planet. Well, I can't play it. Faded.
Here we go. I get that.
With a hunger for fame, and a face and a name to remember. The past fades away, because as of this day, no Norma Jean's gone. She's...
Well, what a beautiful voice. Huh?
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Yeah. Voice. So in Smash, she played an actress who was cast in a Broadway musical of Marilyn Monroe, whose real name, of course, was Norma Jean.
Yep.
That's why she says Norma Jean's gone. Anyway, Kat McPhee is now starring in Waitress. She plays a woman in an unhappy marriage, and her talent, though, is for baking pies. And through that talent, she discovers herself and the ability to break free of an unhappy life and make a new life for herself. Empowerment through pies. I was a little skeptical, but I really loved the show, and I liked Katherine McPhee a lot. Terrific performance. I sat down with her in her dressing room, and she told me why she was attracted to the part in Waitress.
I'm so much of it. I mean, originally, and actually I'm echoing what Jesse Mueller originally said, was that she was originally drawn to the music.
Mm-hmm.
By Sarah Bareilles, and it was the same thing. I love Broadway. I love musicals. I always have. But I'm someone who's kind of out of the loop a lot of times with Broadway and what's happening because I grew up in L.A. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I just always feel like I'm out of the loop. And so when I watched the Tonys that one Sunday, Jesse Mueller and Sarah were doing Used to Be Mine from, I was like, wow, this seems like a really great musical. So I was completely unaware that this musical even existed. But it was the music that drew me in.
It's a good score. Yeah. Very, very fine score. And then we talked about, because there's been a lot of chatter over the years, people, diehard Smash fans like you, you really want to see a Broadway musical version of Smash one day, a live performance of Smash on Broadway. So I asked her about that.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's funny because for a couple years after Smash, we were talking about doing Bombshell the musical.
Right.
And I was like, people would ask me as if I have some sort of inside information. I'm like, listen, I'd love to be a producer on it, but I'm not, so I don't have the
information. You're not Steven Spielberg, yes, one of the producers of Smash.
I don't have the information. But, you know, and I always kind of thought, like, oh, the music was so great that Mark and Scott did. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, that's why people want them to do it.
Yeah.
The music was just great on the show. So the Bombshell musical, like, I don't really think that I would probably... I'm not really, like, the perfect Marilyn, to be honest, like, yeah, in terms of, like, height and just looks, and I'm really not, like, that was what was the whole fun thing about the show,
right?
But when they said, oh, like, a stage version of Smash, like what the TV show was in its entirety,
not the musical that was in the show,
right,
about,
like, the
Marilyn
actual
Monroe.
Like, right. You know, there's so many ways you could make that you know, it's, they have actually, I don't know that they've ever done that, like a musical within a musical on Broadway is kind of cool. It's really clever. But they better hurry because I'm just getting older. So Karen Cartwright, I'm going to have to play Karen Cartwright's mom.
I know. Well, you can play Angelica, the Angelica Houston part.
I'll play the tough producer. That's
you
right.
would be good at that. That would be fun. Good. And that was a good part.
It's never too late. So
who's going to play you?
Me.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm ageless, baby. I'm ageless. And then I asked her for her, if she could make her Broadway playlist, what songs would be on it?
No One Is Alone from Into the Woods.
Beautiful song.
I love my mom I mean, who doesn't love Stephen Sondheim? There's something wrong with you if you don't like Stephen Sondheim. But my mom always played tons of Stephen Sondheim records, either from, like, the shows or stuff that Barbara Streisand covered, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm very familiar with, but that song to me is just so, you know.
Mother cannot guide you.
Sometimes people leave you halfway through the wood. Others may deceive you. It's just...
beautiful song.
They're just incredibly gorgeous lyrics.
Have you ever heard of Steve Sondheim, Bartlett?
Yes.
You what?
Yeah.
You have? Are you kidding me?
I couldn't name any songs, but yeah.
All right, sing with me. Are you ready? Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Send in the clouds.
You don't want me to sing. You do not want
you
me
knew
to sing.
The song. Oh, yeah, I can't believe it. You knew the song. All right. Hey, did you miss anything today? Check out 710WOR.com/Lennon Michael. We got the videos up there. Oh, my God. The Jaguar and the crocodile fighting and the Parkland kid and his confession, all that crazy stuff. And the woman pushed off the bridge. Terrible stuff. Anyway, coming up next is Mark Simone after the news at 10 o'clock. But let's go out with the song from the show I start in with Kat McPhee, Smash. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Fading monocle with a hunger for fame and a face and a name to remember.